Good morning, everyone. It feels like it's been a little while. I think it was February since I was able to speak here, and so I'm grateful for the privilege this morning. And to finish up a series that I think has been really very helpful to me, certainly, and I hope to you as well. Let's begin with a little look at a clip from one of my very favourite films. So please indulge me on this one.
How are you?
We're sending a squad up.
Negative. We have a reactor leak here now. Give us a few minutes to lock it down. Large leak, very dangerous.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
Boring conversation anyway. Luke, we're gonna have company!
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Huh? Oh, the uniform.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Careful.
I'm here to rescue you. I've got your R2 unit. I'm here with Ben Kenobi.
Ben Kenobi? Where is he?
Come on.
Those of you that know the film will know that that rescue mission does not go particularly well. But all the same, there was an attempt on a rescue there. And I wonder if you've ever been rescued from some difficult or dangerous situation. Was it a quick rescue, such as breaking down at the side of the road and getting towed? Or did it involve planning a whole mission and getting carried out over a long period of time, like a lengthy, complex series of medical procedures? Well, this morning we're going to conclude our series in 2 Timothy and see that a rescue mission has been accomplished. I'm hearing quite a high-pitched whistle. Could that be a hearing aid? I think there might be a hearing aid whistling at us. Oh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you. So, 2 Timothy is the last word we have in the Bible from the Apostle Paul. And it's quite likely that within a few months of this letter being written, Paul was executed. Some rescue mission then. But while there is some sense of sadness in this book, hope, completion, and succession come through far more strongly. And we've looked at several of these themes in this series. So just a little reminder and recap. First off, John Ayrton introduced 2 Timothy, and he led us to think about living a life equipped by God and shared with others. And then Lou encouraged us to fan into flame our faith, guard it, pass it on to others. And following that, we looked at how things can be actually really difficult. Physical sufferings and issues that distract or dissuade. And Jez and Rachel spurred us on, leading us to continue, persevere, avoid distractions and arguments, and focus on the gospel of grace. And last week, then, Alison brought out the idea of rescue in her title of Bold and Unhindered. So here we are at the end. What are the last words of the Apostle Paul to his apprentice, Timothy? And I think Wendy's going to read those for us.
Is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 22, and you will find it on page 1197. It's headed up Personal Remarks. Do your best to come to me quickly, For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychius to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to the heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Final greetings. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. I'm very impressed with your Greek and Roman there, Latin. Well, there is a bit of a sense of desperation here, isn't there? Things are tough, probably about as tough as they can get. Paul's in prison and he's going through a trial that is not going well. And most of his friends have deserted him. No one, in fact, stood by him at his first defense. And he senses that his earthly ministry is coming to an end. And we see that earlier in the chapter in verse 6, if you want to cast your eye back to that. We get a very definite, Paul is thinking, this is the end. I'm done. So where then is the rescue? How can this be mission accomplished? How can it end like this? Well, I think verses 17 and 18 hold the answer to that. In the end, only the Lord stands by him. And in the end, only the Lord can rescue him. And he does. Paul knows this and sees it quite clearly. His life has been witness to a complete and successful rescue mission. You may or may not recall that Paul was a Jewish leader, a religious leader, who was completely opposed to the teachings of Christ. And he spent his time actually seeking out and trying to destroy the followers of Jesus Christ. And the Lord rescued him from this error, appearing to him on the road to Damascus. And the Lord gave him the task of taking the gospel message, this gospel of grace, which he's obviously really experienced, to those who'd not yet heard it. He was rescued from ignorance and error. And Paul traveled widely in this mission, and he faced struggles and persecution and physical difficulties and challenges, such as being imprisoned and shipwrecked. But from these he was rescued. He was rescued physically for a time. And Paul also faced challenges to his message. There were those that sought to dilute it, change it. Even though they thought they were bettering it, it was potentially going to be a message that was ruined. But Paul was rescued from those spiritual attacks. He continued And the church continued and became established. So you could say he was rescued spiritually from corruption and heresy. And Paul also, by this point, knows he's not going to be on earth until Jesus comes again. I think he can see that quite clearly here. So he trained others to teach this gospel of grace. And there are many who we can read of in the Bible, and Timothy is one of them, and the one that Paul is appealing to in this case, to come and join him. So Paul's work is also rescued from demise. There will be succession. And in fact, if you look around this room, we are the evidence of that. So from this point, it looks like Paul's whole life has essentially been a rescue mission that is finally being completed. Let's look at those verses 17 and 18 again. Just going to read those. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Perhaps now this rescue mission makes more sense. Paul can look over his life and see he's not rescued for an instant or for a particular single thing, though this might happen and does through his life. He is rescued ultimately by being brought safely to the heavenly kingdom. That's the rescue. What about those lions, though? I think this is probably a bit more where we are at. Lions are mentioned a fair bit in the Bible, and they can represent danger and enemies, but also power and greatness. And we still see a bit of that imagery today, don't we? The three lions for us sporting fans. Or if you're into films, there's Leo, MGM's lion, who likes to give a little roar at the tail end or beginning of films. Well, here in this letter, the lion is clearly a dangerous enemy. And we see in the Old Testament that David's faced lions, Daniel's faced lions, Samson faced a lion. And in the time of this letter, when this was actually written, Christians are also facing literal lions in the Roman arena. So there are dangerous physical and spiritual enemies. Maybe you know what it's like to face something difficult with no friends beside you, only the Lord with you. Maybe you faced something and it was hard even with friends beside you. Some of you know that recently I've struggled somewhat with health, as do many of you. And I got to the point where I prayed, Lord, if all I'm going to be able to do is sit here in your presence, yes, pray to you, yes, and be in pain, why can't I do that in heaven? Wouldn't that be better? And that was with the support of my family and friends. Many of you are here now who have supported me through that. Enduring is hard. Being rescued can be hard, and I'm sure I would not have coped with Paul's struggles unless, of course, the Lord sustained me, stood by me, and brought me through that. Then I could face anything. But I don't want to try, Lord, necessarily. Struggles, difficulties, impossible situations. We have to face them. And maybe you faced some sort of lion. You might be facing a lion right now. It might even be that that lion, ultimately, there's only one rescue from, and that is being brought safely into the kingdom of heaven. We can't gloss over this. Life is difficult. Life is a struggle. And we face many things that we might actively look for rescue from before we are ultimately brought safely to the kingdom of heaven and the rescue is completed. When the rescuer appears, the difficulties don't just disappear, do they? They might seem even worse, but the rescue outcome is assured. And that's the difference between faith in Jesus, the rescuer, and faith in ourselves. The rescue outcome is assured. I wonder if we could have the slide of the cave rescue in Thailand. I don't know if you... Do you remember this one? I'd like you to imagine you're one of those kids that are trapped in the cave for days on end. There's water. You know you can't get out. You know how you got there. And you've been there days just sitting in this dry bit looking at all this water. And suddenly a diver pops up. What are you going to think? We're rescued. But that diver then kind of says, well, there's 3 hours worth of underwater. Can you hold your breath that long? Oh, no. In fact, you've never dived before and you're very small and there's no way you can carry oxygen tanks and all these problems. As you may remember, they did all get rescued. It was a massive mission. And the rescue was by no means assured. There was still some very hard stuff to do, even after that initial, I'm saved, I'm rescued. Thank you. So, what is 2 Timothy the letter all about? It's a conclusion to Paul's ministry in a sense. It shows that Paul has accomplished his mission. It shows that the Lord has accomplished his mission through Paul. But it shows that the mission goes on. Paul has handed the baton to Timothy, it seems. But to complete his mission, Timothy must likewise hand it on. I think it was Jez during this series who said, this letter is all about the gospel. It might appear to be about Paul or Timothy or this whole set of characters mentioned. But when it comes down to it, the letter, as with all Paul's letters, it's about the rescuing power of the gospel of grace. It is about Jesus Christ. And I think that means it's relevant to us now, today. So I'd like us to just take a minute or two to look at some verses, and maybe one will jump out at you as your takeaway verse for the series. While you're reading that, I'm just going to come round and put my next visual aid out at the end of the rows. So have a look at that for a minute. Might not be possible to choose this, and well, they all seem pretty good, don't they? But maybe there's something as your takeaway verse there. You know that I sometimes like to offer you a takeaway item, and this time I'd like to offer you a length of rope. I wasn't expecting so many people to have stayed this long, so I think I've put more down this side than this side, it looks like. But a length of rope, in fact, is just string. You can think of it as rope. But I think rope is perhaps the ultimate rescue tool, isn't it? God has reached down to us. In a sense, he's thrown us a rope. And then in a way, we can think that perhaps Jesus has descended that rope. And as we come up to Advent, we kind of waiting for that arrival. And Jesus has come down to rescue us personally. It's like he's tied us onto the rope and he's climbing back up with us to the safety of the heavenly kingdom. So do feel free to take a bit of rope if you think that would be something you can just carry in your pocket and just remind you, you are being rescued, but the rescue outcome is assured. So you could say, I am rescued, but you are being rescued. In a sense, we just have to allow Jesus to tie us on and stick with him. And you may feel that that's completely and utterly undeserved. You don't deserve to be rescued. Well, you're correct. But that's the same as everyone else. That's the idea of grace. You may feel we don't need to be rescued from anything. But perhaps that might be because the lion has not been seen or met yet, or we don't understand what it will be like to meet God without Jesus Christ, what meeting God in our sin will be like. This rescue is what Paul calls the gospel of grace. God's unmerited favor we receive even though we don't deserve. Maybe you feel you really don't need the rope. You're a pretty good, well-sorted person who can rescue themselves. I would say, as I understand it from the Bible, you would be the second person to achieve this if it worked out, with Jesus being the first. So, how do we respond to the last words of this letter? How do we respond to Paul's last known words? How do we respond to the offer of the gospel of grace to us? I think that depends on where we are in our rescue. If you've just seen the rope thrown down and you're waiting for Jesus and a revelation to find out who Jesus is and what he's done. If you've met Jesus and you're already tied on, perhaps you're struggling up and you're in that stage. But perhaps you're near the end and you've nearly made it to the safety of the heavenly kingdom. In a little while, we're going to listen to a song about rescue and reflect on this for a while. And feel free to just bow your heads, listen to the music, or if you prefer, there will be words on the screen for the song if you find that a better or easier way to engage with it. But this rescue package is summed up in the last sentence of this passage. Grace be with you all. Grace, undeserved favor. The Lord, while we were set against him, rescues us from ignorance and reveals Christ by his Spirit and through his word and his people. He holds out his hands, inviting us to be rescued, despite all our badness, despite our perceived goodness that cannot be good enough. If we take it, we begin that rescue process, and we can depend on the Lord to stand beside us. If we're enduring, we can expect trouble, dark times, suffering, but the Lord will rescue us from them all and complete his rescue, bringing us safely to his kingdom. We will reign with him. And as we've sung already this morning, who's going to stop him? Who can stop him? May you know the power of this rescuing grace. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all.